Tiffany, you. White boy stew. Got my co-host slaying with me too. Tiffany, you. Time to go to class at the Tiffany, you. Once a week on Wednesday at the Tiffany, you. Talking college sports at the Tiffany, you. White boy is the deacon at the Tiffany, you. Tiffany, you. Tiffany, you. White boy stew. I am the host at the Tiffany, you. Tiffany, you. Tiffany, you. We are all about our students at the Tiffany, you. Ooh. Tiffany, you. White boy stew. Got my co-host slaying with me too. Tiffany Network.
Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10 U. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Facebook and Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. You can follow me, your host, White Boy Stew, on Twitter at @GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name, and that's Stuart Thompson. That's with the E-W and not to you. You can follow my co-host that I have with me here every week at the 10 for 10 U, Chris Slayton. You can follow him that under that name on Facebook, and you can follow him on Twitter at Chris_Slayton. So, Slayton, I messed your intro up, but it's all good. So, how's it going?
Oh, it's good, man. We've done this for so many weeks now. If you don't know who I am by now,
that is true. A problem. Hey, hopefully we're still getting new listeners, though.
Oh, we are. Our class is getting bigger every week.
Yeah. For too long, we're going to have to split the class or something. You know, you can only have so many students in a class at one time.
Exactly.
But at 10 for 10 U, we have pretty big class size. And Slayton, you know what is crazy? That we are going into the last week of the regular season already. It is crazy to think that already. It's sad. It really is. I'm depressed, kind of.
It's sad, but at the same point, we're getting into bowl games.
Yes, and we're getting into some big games in the month of November. We have one more week left to go in November, I should say. And first off, before we get into things, we here at 10 for 10 U just want to let all of our listeners know happy Thanksgiving, and we are very thankful for every single one of you that supports 10 for 10 U in any way, if it's by listening, liking us, sharing us on Facebook, no matter how you do it, we appreciate it. And so happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of your family members, and hopefully you have a great one. So let's hop into these games. We had some great games once again. We told y'all at the beginning of this month is not going to let you down in college football, and it hasn't. It has not one bit. There have been some teams that have came up out of nowhere. There's been some epic upsets. There's been some close upsets. There's been some crazy endings. And this week was no different. So let's hop into it. The first game we're going to hop into is number 12, North Carolina at Virginia Tech. This was Frank Beamer's last home game. He is retiring after this season after being at Virginia Tech for a very long time. He was there before I was even born. He's been there forever. But his last home game gets spoiled. They score 14 points in the last 5 minutes to take the game in overtime, but North Carolina handles business and escapes with the win, 30-27, and they keep their playoff hopes alive with the one loss at the number 12 ranking. Marquise Williams, 13-26, 205 yards, one touchdown, and no interceptions. And he also had 18 carries for 74 yards and one touchdown. So not as a big day as he's used to having these past couple weeks, but still a very solid performance. As far as North Carolina run game on the ground, 47 carries, 240 yards, three touchdowns, and that was led by Elijah Hood with 17 carries, 115 yards, and two touchdowns. So they had a pretty good day running the ball to three touchdowns and over 200 yards rushing as a team. Not a bad day. As far as Virginia Tech, Michael Brewer went 20 of 35, 273 yards, and two touchdowns. And Virginia Tech's rush as a team, 47 carries for 130 yards and one touchdown. That was led by Trevon McMillan with 21 carries, 80 yards, and no touchdowns. So not that great of a day on the ground. But Brewer did not have a bad day whatsoever, especially against a chippy North Carolina defense. So, Slayton, what do you think about this one? And what do you think about North Carolina? Do you feel like they're a threat to Clemson? Because, I mean, that's what we're going up to now.
Well, I believe when their quarterback's on fire, they throw up points very quickly.
Very fast.
they live and die with Hood. They run the ball quite often. Like you said, 47 carries. Anytime you're pounding the rock that way, you've got a good game plan.
Yes, sir.
You beat Frank Beamer in his last home game. You knew he was going to pull out all the stops to get it done.
Very true.
They took it to overtime.
Yes.
So, North Carolina, good job on getting it done. You want to see them finish Virginia Tech off better.
Yep.
Clemson, if they play like this at Clemson, they're not going to get it done.
No, definitely not.
It'll probably be a 3-touchdown lead for Clemson.
Yeah.
They struggled mightily in the first half. They kind of got it together in the second half enough to take it into overtime.
Yep. But they blew a lead towards the end of the game.
So
that's not good.
We'll see what happens with him. I think that if the quarterback gets hot at the right time, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it really is.
If he gets hot at the right time, this is a dangerous team.
Yeah, let's hope he didn't use all of his momentum and steam that he had with them big games he was putting up. And like you said, North Carolina did get off to a slow start. They led at half only 7-3, so this was a big second half game. So I don't want to bring up something real quick about this game before we move on. Something I've never seen before. The ref was making a call, and the D lineman walks up and literally smacks the ref's hand as he's making the call. Have you ever seen that? I don't think I've ever seen that.
Good for him.
Like, he really screwed his team, though, because it was only like a 10-yard penalty, so it's still going to be like 3rd and 8. Then he smacked his hand, another 15 at him, and it put him in their territory. So not a good decision, but
look,
I ain't never
if they
that
lose
before.
This game, it's one of the worst things you've done all year.
Yeah.
But they won the game. So.
No, Virginia Tech did this.
Oh, I thought North Carolina did.
No, Virginia Tech.
Boy.
So they did lose the game.
Still good for him. These refs this year have been terrible. Good for him.
I guess that is true. Yeah, so we'll let him slide Timberton U because we have not liked the ref situation on any level of football this year. So, move on to the next one. This was my lock of the week slate, and I got it correct. It was between LSU, number 17, at number 25, Ole Miss. And Ole Miss took care of business, led it half, 24-7. Swag Kelly returns. He shines. LSU drops that third game in a row. And all of a sudden, they've lost three in a row, and all signs are pointing to Les Miles not being the coach no more. And you can see why, because the final score ended up being 38-17. So not only have they dropped three in a row, but the three L's that they took have been bad. They've got pretty much dominated every single time. And Les Miles' record has got worse every year. But it's still kind of crazy because he's had a lot of success at LSU, a lot of great recruiting class. He has the number one recruiting class right now, actually. So it's kind of crazy to see all signs. I mean, pretty much everybody's saying that he's out. So that's going to be crazy. But as far as his game, like I said, Chad Kelly shook it, 19 of 34. 280 yards and 2 touchdowns, no picks, so not a bad day passing. And he also had 12 carries, 81 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So he had over 300 total yards and 4 touchdowns and no turnovers. That is not a bad day at all. As far as Ole Miss's run game as a team, 31 carries, 152 yards, 3 touchdowns, and that was led by Akeem Judd with 12 carries, 61 yards, and no touchdowns. So not a bad offensive day for Ole Miss. And the 152 yards rushing as a team, that's actually a lot more than they usually have. But, of course, Chad Kelly was pretty much the main factor in their offense with a good majority of the run yards and, of course, all the passing yards. So, LSU's offense, that's really the big story here. Brandon Harris, 26 of 51, 324 yards, 1 touchdown and 2 picks. He also had 6 carries for 60 yards and no touchdowns. So not a good day for him. And like I said last week on the show, anytime Brandon Harris is having to throw it 51 times, LSU's not going to win the ball game. 20 to 25 times at most is what Brandon Harris should be doing. I'm sorry. I don't know what they're thinking. I guess it's because they're getting so far behind so early. They feel like they have to throw it. But look, LSU, that's not what y'all do. But at the same time, LSU's run game is not what it's been. As far as them as a team, 38 carries, 184 yards, and no touchdowns. No touchdowns running the ball. Fournette, 25 carries, barely gets over 100, 108 yards, and no touchdowns. No touchdowns, Slayton. No touchdowns. LSU running the ball with Fournette. No touchdowns running the ball.
The game plan's been laid. I mean, that's what it is.
No touchdowns running the ball.
But to beat LSU now, Alabama laid the groundwork.
Stacked the box.
Exactly. Stack the box, make them throw.
And make Brandon Harris throw it 51 times.
Exactly. If you can get a 2-touchdown lead on LSU, you'll finish them off.
Look, here's the case. Almost any quarterback in the nation, if they're throwing it over 50 times, you're not winning the ball game.
That's true. One of the most famous sayings in all time, there's three things that can happen when you throw the ball. Two of them are bad.
Exactly.
So when you're throwing the ball 50-something times,
not good.
Two-thirds of those are going to be bad plays.
And he had two picks.
So. Exactly. So LSU.
What do you think about Les Miles? Do you think he's out?
I hope so.
Who do they get?
I don't care who they get. I hope Texas picks
him up. The rumor so far is Jimbo Fisher. If they get Jimbo Fisher, is that an upgrade in your eyes?
No.
I don't think so. I believe
LSU is about to make the worst coaching decision in a decade. Because, first off, I believe we're still inside a decade that they let go of Saban.
Yeah.
And he went to Miami.
Yeah.
Came back, went to Bama. Now you're about to get rid of one of the most famous coaches in football.
Yeah.
This man could go anywhere and have success.
Like, LSU's only had, like, three or four coaches in, like, the last 50 years.
That's true. And, I mean, LSU is about to make a terrible call. Who are they going to get? That's the real question.
I agree with you. Jimbo Fisher is not an upgrade. I think that's taking someone who's a little crazy and then replacing them with Jimbo Fisher. Like,
well,
come on.
Let's be honest. Baton Rouge is a hard place to coach, period.
Sure.
You got to compete with Mardi Gras. You got to keep your kids honest. You got to keep everything in line, keep your players out of trouble.
Here's what it is. This is why he's on the way out, because he hasn't beat Bama in a while. That's when you're at LSU at this point now where we're at in college football, that's what LSU gets compared to.
My thing is, though
– Ole Miss has beat them. Ole Miss has beat them.
My whole thing is Saban is one of the best coaches of our lifetime. He truly is.
Sure.
He's up there with Bear Bryant. I hate to say
he's
it,
better
but
than
is.
Bear Bryant, if you ask me.
Probably. Record-wise, you'd almost have to say so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. If you're taking a loss to – a legendary Dana Bible. Are you mad at your coaching staff for that? I think
you look at LSU, it's almost the same situation. It's kind of the same situation with Mark Richt. They've just been there so long. I mean, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you've seen the greatness and you just feel like there's no way with that coach you're not going to get there anymore. It happens. It happens with every single great – I mean, it kind of happened to Spurrier, really.
I think that now with the upgrade of social media and everything that's even involved during our lifetime, we're seeing that people want it now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, a coach had 7 years to get it right.
Yeah.
And you maybe have three now.
It takes at least five.
It does. Think about
it. Unless you're lucky.
Not even that. If you're doing it in less than five, you're using someone else's recruiting classes.
Yeah.
So you've got to come in, be able to utilize the recruiting classes in place, maximize your efficiency, and get it done until you can get your guys in there.
Well, let's be honest, though. A coach that comes in to LSU, it's not like they're going to struggle with playmakers. There's good players on that team. You just see they've had terrible quarterback play. That's really been the problem.
Well, they're playing in the hardest division in football, hands down.
That, too.
But if you want, on that same note, Les Miles is one of the best coaches in football.
Yeah.
I guarantee he's a top five coach in the country.
Should he change his scheme? It's shown the past couple seasons, it just, towards the end of the season, it don't work anymore.
I'm a single back guy. I truly believe in a single back, spread the field, make you cover it, and let's run the ball that way.
Because we can agree, he has a top five running back in the backfield right now.
He does.
And they're not doing anything with it.
I believe that he's stacking the box against himself almost to a point to where he's saying he's challenging everybody to stop it.
Yeah.
And now that they're stopping it, he's got nowhere else to go with it.
And he's not changing it.
Well, at this point, can you change it?
Well, I mean, I guess he's trying. He's having Brandon Harris throw it 51 times.
And that's the point I'm making. All season, you've lived and died on the run.
Yeah, that is true.
So now that you've got to throw the ball, where's your scheme for all these passing lanes?
Yeah.
They're not there because you set up all that time to run the ball.
That is true.
So it's a coaching error at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to throw it to run.
Yeah.
And it just works that way. Bama's definitely seen it. You've seen it over the last few years. Every time they have a successful running back, it almost angers their fans that they're not running the ball 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But they're spacing the defenders outside the box.
Being smart with it. Lane Kiffin's calling. He has a better play calling than Les Miles does at this point.
Well, he does. Because the thing is with Bama, if you load the box on them, they're going to throw it 50 yards and take their chance.
Because, I mean, like I said, look, you look at LSU and Georgia. They've both done the same thing. They've changed offensive coordinators, but the one thing has stayed the same, and it's been the head coach. So, I mean, look, if he goes away, that's fine with me because, look, he's trick play numbered with Florida. I mean, he's got us.
I'm telling you right now, if he leaves, I want him at Texas.
You might have a chance.
I'd love him to come to Texas. Come back to the Big 12, I'd love to see it.
Well, I think we can say this. there's not going to be a lack of big-time jobs this offseason, and there's not going to be a lack of big-name coaches out there on the market.
We're seeing, what, probably five major jobs.
Yeah, and we've got a bunch in the SEC, and especially in the SEC East.
You're probably going to see a few open up in the Pac-12 the way this is unfolding.
Exactly. So the offseason is going to be cray-cray. We might have to hop on the air once in a while in the offseason, kind of give everybody an update. So, Slayton, good, less mild discussion.
Yeah.
Good win for Ole Miss. So let's move on to the next game. Another SEC West game. This one was cray. Had Mississippi State at Arkansas. Ole Miss led at half. Led 31-21. Both the quarterbacks shine in this one, Slayton. Both of them have a crazy back and forth game. And Mississippi State pulls it out 51-50. Like I said, both quarterbacks had an amazing day. Dak Prescott, 38-50, 508 yards and 5 touchdowns passing. A great day. 15 carries, 46 yards, and 2 more touchdowns. So he had 7 touchdowns on the day and over 500 total yards. That is crazy. A phenomenal day for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott has got almost zero love this year, and this man has been playing phenomenal and solid, consistent all season long. As far as Mississippi State's run game, 35 carries, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was led by Brandon Holloway with 14 carries, 63 yards, and no touchdowns. But like I said, Dak Prescott went insane in this game. But so did Brandon Allen. He sets the touchdown record for Arkansas. And let me tell you, folks, Arkansas has some pretty dang good quarterbacks come through there. So for him to hold the touchdown record is pretty impressive. He went 30 of 43, 406 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Holy cow. So he had just as many touchdowns as Dak Prescott did, but he did it all with his arm. Arkansas's run game kind of what really wasn't there, but, I mean, you really didn't need him when Brandon Allen was doing what he was doing. Had 29 carries, 73 yards, and 0 touchdowns. Now was led by Alex Collins, of course, with 19 carries, 53 yards, and 0 touchdown. I want to say Mississippi State went for 2 at the end of the game, Slayton, if I'm not mistaken, to get 51. So Brandon Allen didn't even get a chance to come back on the field to try to answer. And with the streak that he was on, he might answer. But good win for Mississippi State because Arkansas had been pretty hot the past couple weeks. So, Slayton, let me ask you 2 questions. What do you think about this game? And second of all, do you think Dak Prescott can be good in the NFL? I think he's got the size.
He's Cam Newton.
He's a bigger Cam Newton.
He is.
Yeah, a little bit shorter, a little bit stockier Cam Newton. He's got a cannon.
He does. This kid could probably stand flat-footed.
And he don't get hurt, really.
Exactly. The kid could stand flat-footed on the 20 and hit the goalpost.
Why is he getting no love?
He doesn't have a run game. Let's be honest. The run game at Mississippi State is what's held this team back all year.
Yeah.
They don't have an every down.
It has been Dak Prescott, that's for sure.
Exactly. It's all Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
If they have an every down running back.
Just some weapons.
If they have an every down running back, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I'd say that they would beat Bama with an every down running back. This team is built to beat Bama. But when you can't run the ball, you've got no chance.
And their D kind of slacking too, giving up 50.
Look.
That's pretty bad.
But when your offense is going out and having 6 play drives, you're on the field all day long.
That is true.
Yep. And we saw that even with Oregon.
Yeah, there was a lot of big plays in this game.
But Mississippi State, they show heart.
Yeah.
They went in and got it done against the Arkansas team that we've seen put a whipping on teams.
Yes.
And that hung with Bama and that did major things. And if they played like they've been playing recently, they could just as easily be undefeated.
Yeah.
They have probably the biggest offensive line in the country.
Yep.
That defensive front, just as big. So, you want to give the kudos where it's due here, but both of these teams just fell short of where they really should be.
Yep.
And Mississippi State, I wish they had a great run game. Because
yeah.
I would love to see how he handled it the way that Cam did when he had a running back.
Yeah.
If they did, you're probably sitting here talking about him in the same context as Cam winning the title.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Dak Prescott got a lot of love last year. But
he did.
Mississippi State had a lot of weapons, had a very good defense, and he was in the Heisman race for a while. But this year they haven't, like you said, they've lost some games they shouldn't have. They've been close with some good teams, but they've also got beat pretty handily by Bama and some other teams. So they've been kind of up and down team, but I'm telling you people, keep your eye out on Dak Prescott. I think someone will pick him up in the draft and really be good with him.
Well, just the prior segment. Let's talk about this. He threw the ball 50 times, people.
Yeah.
He completed 38 of those.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's, I guarantee you at least four of those were drops.
Yeah.
So let's put that into context. He could have went 42 of 50.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, when you, I mean, look, we talked about throwing 50 passes in the last game and said if you do that, you're probably going to lose. And, I mean, they almost did lose. But at the same time, he completed a lot more than LSU's quarterback did too.
Well, that's the thing. You're completing.
And he played clean. That's the big thing.
Yeah. If you can keep your quarterback clean, that's a great thing. The way that this football team is built, they've got this running style quarterback. With a run game, though, they're losing that full third dimension.
Yep.
I would love to see this offense with a run game.
Yep. Me too. But, hey, like we said, good win for Mississippi State. Good win for Dak Prescott. Won a game where he could shine and really show all of his talents. I expect him to be high on some people's draft boards. So, Slate, next game was a big one. This is one we have been waiting on.
Yes, and I loved every second of
yes.
it.
Yes. Now it was number 9, Michigan State at the Horseshoe. Number 2, Ohio State. Good, good game. Tied 7-7 at half. 41-yard field goal ends the 23-game win streak for the Suckeyes, I mean the Buckeyes, and gives Ohio State their first loss of the season. Michigan State pulls it out 17-14. As you hear on the ESPN, it's an update. Ohio State is finally lost. Like we said, once Ohio State plays somebody, they're going to lose, and that's exactly what happened. And you look at Michigan State, they didn't even have their starting quarterback. Connor Cook was out, and they had a little bit of a two-quarterback system, but they kind of settled with one. Tyler O'Connor went 7 of 12, 89 yards, 1 touchdown, and 0 interceptions. Also had 8 carries for 25 yards. So not a big day, but he took care of the ball, which was a humongous thing in this game. And where Michigan State really controlled the game was running the ball. 51 carries, 203 yards, and 1 touchdown. That was led by the duo of Gerald Holmes, of course, with 14 carries, 65 yards, and a touchdown. And LJ Scott, 13 carries, 58 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So they knew their quarterback play was not going to be just fantastic game. And the running game really got it done to keep Michigan State in this game and give them a chance to win at the end. As far as Ohio State's offense, stagnant all night. I mean, Michigan State's went much better, but Ohio State's offense just stunk all night. JT Barrett, 9 of 16 for only 46 yards and 1 touchdown. No interceptions, though. He also had 15 carries for 44 yards and 0 touchdowns. And as far as Ohio State's run game, it didn't really get much better. 29 carries, 86 yards, and 1 touchdown. And that was led by Ezekiel Elliott, 12 carries, only 33 yards, and 1 touchdown. And a side note, Ezekiel Elliott was pissed.
Good.
He was pissed after the game.
Should be.
Basically said, that was my last game playing in the Horseshoe. I'm going pro. And they had another player. I don't remember who it was, but he also pretty much said that he was going pro. And look, I understand, Ezekiel. You should be mad. You should get 20, 25 carries a game. There's no way Slayton, JT Barrett should have carried the ball as many times as he did. Look, I know Urban Meyer loves his running quarterback. I know.
Good for him.
It
Who
works.
Cares?
It works. I understand. But look, Ezekiel Elliott's top 5, not top 3 running back in the nation.
He's a top 5 pick.
Yes. Look. And the quarterback carried the ball more than he did.
And he ought to be mad. I agree with him.
The play calling was horrible.
Who comes up with this game plan? Who says
it was ugly?
Who says that we're going to run our quarterback into the teeth of this Michigan State defense?
I mean, they have problems picking up first downs all night. Credit to Michigan State's D. They have a really good defense.
They do.
But Ohio State has weapons on that offense. And Braxton Miller, quiet all night, just like JT Barrett and Ezekiel Elliott were.
But that's the whole point.
And even they even tried to dash Cardale Jones in there a couple times, and it didn't work either.
That's the whole point. With Michigan State, you have to run the ball effectively for that offense to open up.
Yep.
You have to be able to work the play action. And they did not trust the run game enough to work into the play action.
They didn't really run play action.
Because they couldn't get a run game going. 33 yards for Ezekiel Elliott, that's laughable. The man can fall forward 25 times and get 100.
I agree.
I mean, seriously, I don't understand.
Especially when the man's wanting the ball. This is a senior, not a senior, but this is a junior who's wanting to put the team on his back. And you've shown last year that he could do it.
this man single-handedly beat Alabama. Let's be honest.
This man in three games in the postseason last year had almost over 1,000 yards.
Exactly.
Three games.
And he made Alabama look silly last year.
He made Wisconsin look silly.
Why would you not allow?
He made Oregon look silly.
I'm telling you, I don't understand it either.
I don't either.
Yeah. All I can say about this game is laughable.
We've been saying it all season. Ohio State, Urban Meyer, they've been hung up on the quarterback all year. It didn't matter who was playing quarterback because you had a beast back there.
I would run him until the wheels fell off. I really would.
I swear. I mean, we talked about him coming into the season, Heisman favorite, and, I mean, over 1,000 yards in three games last season in a row. I mean, it's hard not to, and he just hasn't been used. We've been saying almost all year, where's Ezekiel Elliott at? Where's he at? And Urban Meyer just kept him in hiding for some reason.
My whole thing is, if you've got a running back there that's 180, maybe 200 pounds, he's a scat back, that's one thing. This man is a monster. It's not like I'm not afraid to let him run into the teeth of the defense.
Yeah.
Because this man could break three or four tackles and take it to the house.
Sure.
And I don't understand the game plan. It kills me. It's bum-fuzzling. It really is.
I'm telling you, Ohio State fans, this is 09 Florida.
Oh, it is.
All over again. Look, that season, Florida went undefeated until the SEC championship game. They played a lot of games close that they shouldn't have played close, but they won because they had better athletes. But the weapons wasn't used correctly. There was a lot of whispers around the program. So Ohio State fans, you should be scared because Urban Meyer's about to get sick.
Well, the thing is,
he's about to get sick.
Is he has to be the glue that holds this team together. He really does. You have a lot of stars on this team, a lot of people with opinions on this team, and you've got to be able to throw all those opinions in one direction. And right now they're flying everywhere. It's not going to get done.
No, it's falling apart up there already. And, I mean, this was a favorite coming into the season. I mean, obviously they've been up there all season, but it's because they've played nobody. And they have the talent. That's the bad part about it. You see, you know what they got. I mean, that's why they were so highly talked about coming into the season because, look, they returned almost everybody.
I agree, and with the talent that this team has, they ought to be a national champion this year. They really ought to.
Yeah.
The thing is
– you knew as soon as you seen them play this season, it wasn't going to happen.
And that's true. I want to touch on another point as well, though. I agree with what Ezekiel Elliott said. Yeah. I don't agree in how he went about
it. Well, no.
I don't – I'm a full believer that if you're going to have a locker room issue, it should be addressed in the locker room.
I do.
Yep. To go on
TV. Well, it don't matter if you're going pro, though.
But it does. If you have a love for your program, you don't throw it under the bus that way on national television.
That is true. But, I mean, he wasn't the only one, though.
That's true. But if Ezekiel Elliott wants NFL teams to look at him seriously, they got to know that he can handle the presser appropriately.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, come draft day, it's going to be talked about.
Yep. You are probably correct. So, hey, enough about Ohio State. They lost.
They did.
Thank God. Made the Saturday so much better. Saturday was awesome. So, next game, number 10, Baylor at number 4, Oklahoma State. This one was a big one, too. And Baylor comes in, does a thing, lead at half, 24-14. And then at half, the game changes. Stidham is hurt, goes out of the game. Third string comes in, Johnson, and he performs. Chris Johnson, not CJ2K, just Chris Johnson, the white guy. Chris Johnson comes in, plays pretty good, and gives Oklahoma State their first loss of the season. So a lot of teams took in their first L's of the season. They get the victory, 45-35. Like I said, Stidham, he had a pretty good game in the first half, obviously with the 24-14 lead at half. 12-21, 258, one touchdown and zero interceptions. Also had seven carries for 36 yards. So before he got knocked out, you can tell he was having a pretty good game, especially passing the ball with 258 yards in the first half. But like I said, Chris Johnson came in, did pretty good, 5 of 10, 138 yards, two touchdowns, but he did have an interception. But, hey, for only throwing the ball five times and two of them, or completing five times, and two of those are touchdowns, not bad. Also had six carries for 42 yards and another touchdown. So he had three touchdowns on the day in just one half of football. So where is Baylor getting these quarterbacks, man? It's plug and play.
I want to address this right now because you're not going to hear this insight anywhere else. This Art Briles offense is perfect for next man up. Think about it. He spreads the field so wide that his throwing windows are wide open. It's like throwing through garage doors.
That is true.
So next man up football isn't that big of a deal when you're in Arbrow's offense because of those windows. So even more on this game plan, it's so vanilla what they were running, and they still got the victory. Imagine how potent this offense is with a little bit of tweaking and a little time with this quarterback.
It don't look like it needs no tweaking, if you ask me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were so effective being vanilla. There's tape on this kid now, so people are going to be able to close those windows a little tighter, make his throws a little tighter, things of that nature. But you're also going to get a lot more rub routes, a lot better running with Linwood. You're going to be able to do some things that you may not have been able to do with Stidham. So we'll see what happens.
Well, hey, you talk about Linwood. Baylor's run game had a big, big day, Slayton. When I saw this number of carries,
oh yeah,
this blew my mind.
Well, that's what they do.
73 carries, Slayton.
Why not?
73 carries for 304 yards and 3 touchdowns. We had Shock Linwood with 20 carries, 91 yards and a touchdown. Had Johnny Jefferson with 17 carries for 67 yards and no touchdowns. And we also had Devin Chaffin with 16 carries, 60 yards and a touchdown. Slayton, 73 carries.
But that's the thing. They forced Oklahoma.
73 carries. Florida ain't had 73 carries in the past 4 games.
But that's the whole point that I was making. The way that the game plan's set up, they stretch you so thin sideline to sideline that you've got to cover it with 6 corners.
And plus, it don't matter who your quarterback is when you're running the ball 73 times.
But all that quarterback's doing, honestly, the way that the game plan is set up, he's walking up to the line and saying, how many men do I have in the box? If it's 5 or 6, I'm running the ball every time.
73. Okay.
That's what he's doing.
So, as you can tell, Baylor's offense had a pretty nice night. As far as Oklahoma State's offense, Mason Rudolph, 27 of 50, 430 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions, had 7 carries for 38 yards. So he still had a pretty good night with 430 and 3 touchdowns. We also had J.W. Walsh, the law firm, as I call him every week. This man comes in and just scores touchdowns. 1 of 1, 3 yards, 1 touchdown, 5 carries, 9 yards, 1 touchdown. I'm telling you, man, a touchdown machine. As far as Oklahoma, he's the law firm. He comes in, he scores, he gets out. Oklahoma State's run game, only 23 carries, a kind of a normal number, but Slayton, this number is not normal. 8 yards, 1 touchdown. That was led by Chris Carson with 6 carries, 20 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So Slayton, 8 yards. Look, we know Oklahoma State's run game's not that great. We know, you know, they usually only average about between 60 and 100, but 8, that's probably the difference in this game with, I mean, 73 carries, Slayton.
But that's how you play football. It truly is.
So he had 73 carries compared to 8 yards.
That's how you play football. Look, you eat up the time possession. You walk up to the line of scrimmage as a quarterback. You say, if you're going to throw 6 men at my 5 offensive linemen, I'll put my 1-on-1 with that running back all day long.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's smart play calling. I know if me and Slayton ever were to coach some kind of football team, that's the offense we're running.
Yep.
So, let's go ahead and move on to the next game. This was also the big one in the Big 12. We had number 11, TCU, at number 7, Oklahoma. Oklahoma led 23-7 at half, but they end up having to survive this game after TCU goes for 2 with 51 seconds remaining to try to take the lead, but they did not convert, and they were without their star quarterback, Trevon Boykin, this game. But as far as Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield, 9 of 20, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. So, 2 touchdowns, not bad. No interceptions, not bad. But only 9 completions, not that great of a night throwing the ball. He also had 10 carries for 42 yards and 0 touchdowns. And he also left with a concussion in the game. So, that's probably why his completions are down a little bit. Da-dirt-da-dirt. So, we had someone who started for Oklahoma in the past. That was Trevor Knight. He comes in. 5 of 16, 76 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Also had 6 carries for 19 yards and 0 touchdowns. So Baker Mayfield was missed after he got knocked out because Trevor Knight did not perform well at all. As far as Oklahoma's run game, another big number, 59 carries, 333 yards, and 1 touchdown. That was led by Perrine, of course, with 26 carries, 188 yards, and 1 touchdown. And they also had Joe Mixon go for 11 carries for 87. So, when Mayfield got hurt, And Trevor Knight came in. They knew they had to run the ball, and they did. And Perrine performed well again. He's finally came around towards the end of the season with the expectations he's meeting that we thought he would. As far as TCU, we had Foster Sawyer go 8 of 18 for 107 yards, one touchdown, and three picks. So he ended up finishing not with a great night, but Slayton, he started the game 7 of 8 and a touchdown. He finished the game 1 of 10. He was placed in the third quarter for Bram Kohlhausen.
Now, that's a name.
Yeah. I bet he likes Du Hast Mich. That's probably his favorite song. Went 5 of 11, 122 yards, two touchdowns, and zero interceptions. So he definitely played a whole lot better than Foster Sawyer. And you want to think if he got to start, that maybe TCU could have pulled this one out. But he played good coming in, you know, especially not starting the game. So not a bad game for Kohlhausen. As far as TCU's run game, 36 carries, 161 yards, one touchdown. That was led by Aaron Green, 23 carries, 126 yards, and one touchdown. So an above-average day for TCU's run game, honestly. So they had a chance. And, look, I don't disagree with Gary Patterson one bit going for two right there. They had the momentum. They knew if they got to an overtime game, they probably did not have the offense to beat Oklahoma because Oklahoma's run game had got going at that point. So a ballsy move, but I totally agree with it. As soon as I saw he was doing it, I was like, I agree with that 100%. You should definitely do it. You go for the win. You don't, like he said, you don't go to Stillwater to lose. You go there to win the game, and he saw the opportunity to win it, and he tried to win it, and it didn't happen. But, hey, got to be proud of TCU Slayton for the effort they put up, especially falling 23-7 at half. They fought really hard in this one, and still a good win for Oklahoma squeaking this out because it was still a tricky game, even though it was at home.
Well, Oklahoma got it done in the end. But this game is going to be looked at by the committee and saying this is a TCU team that for the last 4 weeks has been slipping.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma struggled a little bit.
They did. That defense. But Baker Mayfield got knocked out, though. I'll take that with a little grain of salt.
That's true.
He is the offense. He's the spark to the offense.
Well, that's,
and you've seen that when Knight came in.
Well, the conversation we had Saturday night while watching this game, he's a Manziel.
Yeah.
He's a little bit smarter with the football.
Yep.
But
still tries to do too much sometimes.
Still tries to do way too much sometimes. Yeah. That's the whole reason he got put out of this game.
Yeah.
TCU, though, they played a great ball game. They ran the ball effectively, and that's no easy task to do on this Oklahoma defense.
Yeah.
They put them on their heels, and at the end of the game, I wholeheartedly agree with going for two. At that point, you had that defense going south.
Yeah.
Quickly. And they almost pulled it off.
They almost did, but they didn't. But, hey, you like to see TCU, even though their season hasn't went towards the end of the season how it's went, they're still fighting, still trying to spoil some people's season. You like to see that from a team they did not quit, even without their star quarterback. So a great effort for TCU, but also, like I said, a good win for Oklahoma. Hopefully Baker Mayfield will be healthy enough to play this weekend in a big, big game. So, Slayton, we had your boys on the schedule last week, but they don't play till tomorrow or Thanksgiving, Thursday, whenever you listen to this. So
the crazy thing is by the time that everybody's listening to this show, it'll be Thanksgiving. So the game will already be played. So our prediction, I don't want people sending us emails like, how do you get the prediction wrong when they played before your show?
Yeah.
Okay, this is pre-recorded, people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we thought that they played Saturday. I was sitting here. I thought it was a rain delay at first. Yeah. And I'll start going through, and I'm like, why are they not playing Thanksgiving game?
Yeah.
I didn't know it. Good.
Hey, there are some good games on Thanksgiving and some good games on Friday, too. So check that out. So, Slayton, don't have no review for your team because they didn't play.
Yep.
But, unfortunately, we have to review my team this week.
They should have lost, man.
I know. Had Florida Atlantic come into town, number 8, thinking Florida's got to take care of business. Nah, they don't do that. Tied 0-0 at half. Trayon, not a good game once again. 8-17, 122 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Also had 11 carries, 27 yards, and no touchdowns. So like I said, not a good day. As a team, 44 carries, 131 yards, one touchdown led by Kelvin. 26 carries, 105 yards, and only one touchdown. So not a lot going running the ball. But Callaway looked good when he touched the ball. Two receptions, 52 yards, and a touchdown. 52-yard punt return, but he went for a touchdown. Got tackled by the kicker twice. But Tabor had a pick, but the story of this game was our kicking game. It's non-existent. Harden, 0 of 2 on field goals. They're both chip shots. And then we get to overtime. We score on like the first or second play, and you're thinking, cool. Because at this point, our offense was scary.
Blocked!
And it got blocked. It was his fault, too, because he kicked it way too low. Look, if extra point gets blocked, 99.999% of the time, it's the kicker's fault because he kicks it too low.
Man, you could kick that into the upper stands, and the defense would never be close.
So, Florida Atlantic blocks it, so all they have to do is score and kick the extra point, and they win the game. And, of course, it comes down to can Florida's defense hold somebody else in the late game situation again to save Florida's butt on offense? And they do it. They win 20-14. Slayton, I'm absolutely, positively disgusted with this game.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to
disgusted.
I don't want to hurt your feelings on this, but that was two pass interferences. It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, whatever.
Bro, we can go back and record the film and everything. I slow-mo'd it. It's pass interference. One of those gets called first and goal. They score.
Nah.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Nah.
Yes.
No. Hey, look. As bad as our offense is, and as bad situations our defense gets put in so many times, look, still winning.
Look,
I know it's Florida Atlantic. Look, I'm absolutely disgusted that I had to sit here and stress the whole entire time that we're playing Florida freaking Atlantic. These guys are 2-8 on the season, Slayton. In the MAC or something. I don't even know what conference they play in. I think they're in the Sun Belt, for God's sakes.
The Sun Belt.
And we struggled.
Well,
mightily. Not the defense. Defense played great again until the end of the game. Again. It's the offense. There's no rhythm. Kelvin can't hit a hole. We got dominated on the offensive line again. Their defensive line ate us up.
Yeah,
look,
they're pretty sloppy.
I'm not saying it's all Trayon's fault. I'm not saying it's all the offensive line. It's a collective thing because, look, I think if the offensive line was giving Trayon some better looks sometimes, Trayon played a little better. But don't get me wrong. There's still times when the line's giving him looks and Trayon's still making boneheaded plays, especially towards the end of the game when we're leading by a touchdown. We just got to take care of the ball, run the clock out, we win. Trayon goes back to pass on a first down for some reason. Ball gets swatted into the end zone, and that's how Florida Atlantic ties the game. And look, I'm going to be honest. I said it last week. I ain't been too hot on the play calling. I think the run game, the run plays are taking way too long to develop. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. It feels like it takes way too long for the running back to get the ball. And let's be honest. I think Powell should be getting the ball a whole lot more. If we got to run Callaway end around, we got to pitch it to him, run him into option. I don't care. Look, Callaway's our best offensive player right now.
Get him the ball.
I
don't understand why Scarlett's not been a north and south runner.
He gets like 3-4 carries a game.
But that's my thing.
Even Kronk. I want to see Kronk get the ball because, look, Kelvin's not getting it done anymore. I'm sorry.
The reason he's not getting it done, though, is because they're running him up the middle.
Yes.
And
he's edge.
He's an edge rusher. Allow Scarlett to come in and take the brunt of these hits. He's a big body back. That's what he's there for.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it.
And usually when they put Scarlett in and they run around edge, so look.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Max play calling has not been the best past couple weeks.
It hadn't. They're getting it done. I mean,
we have not been prepared.
It's going to be scary versus Bama. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be
scary. I'm scared. I'm super duper scared. I've been saying that past couple weeks.
I'm going to tell you right now, Florida wins that game, upset of the century. I'm calling it.
Boys, I'm going to say this right now. Florida wins that game, I'm getting a Gatorhead tattoo the next damn day.
Fair enough.
I already want one. If we pull that, it's going to be some stanky BS, or Max just hiding something.
I hope that's what it is. I really do. I hope that they're just like, look, we've already won the East.
It's just so weird because I've seen how great this team's performed, even with Trey on the quarterback. Look, we've got some injuries on D-line. Sherritt's been hurt. Bullard got hurt in this game, but he came back and played, but he was not 100%. Got some guys banged up. Half the offensive line's banged up now. So we got some injuries. But look, we're thin on offensive line, so that's we knew that was going to be a problem coming in the season.
And
as long as they held up, was a surprise. But I just feel like we've kind of been almost overlooking these games. We've been looking for these next two games we're about to play. I just don't see – I understand Florida's trending down at this point. I understand Florida State looks a lot better team. But at the same time, I just feel like there's no way a Florida team comes in at the Swamp against Florida State and doesn't come prepared to play.
I think they'll be ready to play.
They're going to have their heads on right.
There's a lot of things that are going against Florida right now.
Yeah.
They're banged up on the D-line.
Yeah.
The way that Cook's playing right now, he is hot.
Sure.
If he had been playing like this all year, he's Heisman hopeful.
Yeah.
This Florida team, I'm not sold.
I mean, there ain't nothing to be sold on.
I'm hoping what's happening here is that he's vanillaing.
You can be sold on our corners. That's about it in the secondary.
I'm hoping what's happening with the play calling is they're saying, let's not give these teams film.
Yeah.
And
let's keep it vanilla.
Exactly. Let's keep it as vanilla.
And it really has been, too.
It has. It's been pretty boneheaded play calling at times. But it very well may be, let's not give them film.
And
Mac's a smart coach.
He is. I'm just going to say – I hope that's the case. And look, we knew Florida Atlantic was going to come in and give us everything they got because, look, those are a lot of Florida boys. I think it said something like 56 of the players before that game had already played against or with each other at some point during high school. So, look, all those guys knew each other. Kind of a under the radar kind of, not a rivalry, I would say, but there's a lot of bad, not necessarily bad blood, even just a lot of. Competitiveness, I guess
there
you would
say. If you're playing the same kids that you played in state, I don't care if you're a D2 school or not.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of an edge over some of these other
teams.
You
got a little chip, yeah.
So, good for them for playing it so tight.
Yeah, and they played a pretty good game. So, enough about that heap of mess of a game that was. But, hey, we won, like I said, every week it seems like now. At least we won. So, Slayton. Let's hop into our quick hits real quick. We had number 14, Michigan, at Penn State. We thought Penn State gave them a game, and they did. But Ruddick actually had a pretty good day with 256 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of his better games of the season. And Michigan wins 28-16, set up a big matchup with Ohio State this week.
Harbaugh's got his team in a nice position.
He's got them rolling.
He's got them in a good position.
He's got them rolling. They haven't been playing as clean as they were, but they're still picking up these victories. So, good one for him.
That defense is still hot.
Yes, sir. So, next game. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Until our bowl show, this will be the last team this team will get mentioned on 10 for 10 U for a little while.
But if y'all go to a good bowl, I still won't take it.
Exactly. And that's the Memphis Tigers at Temple. Temple pretty much destroys them, Slayton, 31-12. Memphis had 0 touchdowns, bro. 0. We've seen this team score 60, homie. 0 touchdowns as a team.
They've had the heart ripped out of this team.
They've trended down the past couple weeks. Well, this stretch has been rough for Memphis.
That first loss ripped the heart out of this team. And ever since then.
Ain't been the same.
Well, it was the worst possible moment to have the heart ripped out of this team because you had the hardest competition coming up.
That is true.
And it's
Navy's
just been
pretty
terrible.
Good, though, too, though.
Navy's very good.
Yeah. But, hey. It was fun while it lasted, Memphis.
I believe Navy's probably a New Year's Six. I really
do. It's looking that way. And I hope Kenan Reynolds is in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony, too. So, next game we had Wake Forest at Clemson. Watson, another big day, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. And that was 3 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing. They pull it out 33-13. About what you expected, Slayton.
Yeah.
Wake Forest sucks.
They do. And Clemson, this was a let's get in and get out.
Yep.
We don't want any injuries. Let's play clean and go home.
Watson stayed healthy. That's what you want. So, next game, UCLA at number 18, Utah. And Utah's just been up and down all season. So has UCLA. Both these teams have. But UCLA pulls out the sloppy 117-9.
You heard it here last week. It was my lock of the week.
Yeah.
We knew they were going to pull it out.
And they did.
That's what happened.
So, next game, number 20, Northwestern at number 20, Wisconsin. Slate, we knew this one's going to be low scoring. We knew this one's going to have a lot of running the ball, and it did not disappoint. Northwestern pulls out the slobber knocker 13-7.
This is what Northwestern does best. They play ugly football, and they get their wins. I don't understand how they low score this way, but they live and die by it.
Yeah, and Wisconsin plays ugly this year, too. So, next game, a team we just brought up, number 19, Navy at Tulsa. Tulsa's a pretty good team, especially – playing Navy, but Navy pulls it out 44-21. Kenan Reynolds, 2 touchdown, becomes Navy's all-time rusher, Slayton. That's pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, there's been some legends to come out of Navy.
Because that's all they do is run the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly.
This man's throwing it 8 times a game, and the rest of it's running. If that doesn't say all they do is run the ball, nothing will.
Yeah, mad shout-out to Kenan Reynolds.
Mid-State guy.
Yeah, Mid-State.
Hope he gets to New York.
I hope he does too. I'd love to see him even get in the top three for the voting.
I want to see him win it because I think nothing else exemplifies what the Heisman represents than that young man right there. So, yep. Next game, we had Cal at number 15, Stanford. Stanford wins 35-22, a good bounce-back victory for Stanford.
Yeah, Stanford needed this. After that loss to Oregon, boy, they put themselves in a hole here. We're going to see what happens this last week, but
they're still ranked ahead of Florida, but that's besides the point. So, next game, Boston College at number 5, Notre Dame. Slayton, this one was ugly. Notre Dame had some more injuries. This one was at Fenway Park, so it was kind of special. And they win 19-16, but it was not pretty. And Boston College is not good, Slayton. And these injuries might screw them this week.
Well, let's be honest. Boston College put their defensive pants on and came to play football.
Hey, they're probably mad because this is in Boston, and this was a Notre Dame home game.
Well, Boston College, they played some defense. They were knocking some heads. Good for them staying as close as they did with Notre Dame. Honestly, if this isn't a neutral site game, I believe Notre Dame blows them out of the water.
More than likely. So, Slayton, next game we had a great team, a fantastic team.
Terrible.
This is a team that can beat anybody on any given Saturday, and that is Charleston Southern of the D2.
The fact that you said that with a straight face.
Ranked 7th in D2. They visit number 3, Bama. And what do they do, Slayton? What else would Charleston Southern do against Bama, a great team like Charleston Southern? They get annihilated 56-6.
Why do you even schedule these games? For the life of me.
You like how I hyped it up, though? I made it sound like a good game.
No, I'm going to go back on my soapbox here for a second.
Oh, Lord.
Bama continually gets the benefit of the doubt for their schedule and playing in the West, but every year they schedule these cupcake games and no one says anything.
Everybody does it.
You're buying games.
But guess what? Florida Atlantic's supposed to be a dang cupcake game. You see how that went.
They're still Division I.
That is true.
There's a difference.
That is
You're
true.
Scheduling these Division II schools.
That is true. Florida has not played D2 all year. They've played D1, I'm pretty sure, every game.
Yeah, same thing with Georgia. I ripped Georgia a new one for getting that kid hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm on the same soapbox for them playing Charleston Southern. That's garbage.
It is garbage, and we've discussed that plenty of times, so not to get hung up on it anymore. Next game, number 13, Houston at UConn.
Woo!
UConn wins 20-17. Another team takes the first L. Houston, Slayton, where's Adam Sandler?
You blew it!
You blew it! Two games left.
UConn.
UConn sucks, bruh.
Hey. They didn't suck that day.
They got some fresh unis. I like their unis.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm talking about Willis. They blew it. Houston blew it, man.
Good job for UConn, man.
Nah.
Yes.
I wanted to see Houston in a New Year's Six, but not going to happen anymore. So next game, Slayton, this one's a big rivalry, and we didn't even touch on it last week. I cannot believe we scanned over this one. But number 22, USC at number 23, Oregon. Slayton, Oregon's offense is woken up this month, 48-28.
Oregon always finds a way to get back into that the Pac-12 race.
Yeah.
I don't understand. This team
Bro, we
was
had
terrible.
Them dead. We had them dead.
This team was terrible, though.
I know.
And somehow they squeak back into the Pac-12 picture. And with a win this week, I believe that they're going to play for the Pac-12 title.
I think the key is Adams has been playing a whole lot better, kind of what you were expecting him to play like, and the run game's woken up, too.
They've got to do something this week.
Yep, they do. So, next game, Purdue at number 6, Iowa. Iowa, it was close for a little while, but they pull it out 40-20. It's like they keep on winning. All they do is win.
Exactly. I'll talk about Iowa here in a few minutes, but great win for Iowa. I'm proud of Iowa. Good job, Iowa.
So, like, when I asked you to start doing this show, would you ever think you would be saying to a microphone, I'm proud of you, Iowa?
Yes.
No, never. Yes. Never once did that cross your mind.
Yes, why not? Because is there anything more random than just coming out and being like, I'm proud of you, Iowa?
That's pretty, pretty random. So,
exactly.
That was all of the games. Very interesting discussions about all of those games. So, top into our what's up and what's down real quick. So, Slayton, what is your what's up this week?
Well, I'm glad that we segued perfectly. Iowa. The Hawkeyes proving everyone wrong. Because at the beginning of the year, we said, man, this team's still undefeated at 5-0.
Yep.
man, they're 8-0 now. And, man, they're one of the last two teams in the country now that are undefeated.
And now they got put on Sports Illustrated this week. Just
they did.
Just a little side
it's
note.
Just
that's epic. Not good, though.
It's just epic that they're one of the last two teams. And the way that they play football, I'm proud of that.
Yeah,
the
way that they play that old man football.
Exactly. I love it. That's how I grew up playing ball. Good football. Also, I want to throw in, with a win this week, Oklahoma proves me right.
That is true.
They do.
It's crazy that that is.
Exactly. Week one, you can go back to the very first show when we were predicting. I called it. Oklahoma was going to win the Big 12.
You did.
And it was going to be a one-loss scenario.
You did. And you're not going to let nobody forget it either.
Exactly. This is the first time that I'm on record with this, and I want everybody to know it.
Yeah. That is the one good thing about doing a podcast.
Exactly.
So that's your what's up this week. My what's up this week, first of all, Ohio State taking the L. As if you've listened to the show before, I'm not fond of Ohio State. Actually, I wouldn't even say fond. I hate Ohio State, and I'm pretty sure Slayton, your feelings are pretty much the same as mine.
I am. I'm a huge Texas guy. That goes back with a rivalry.
Yeah, so anytime Ohio State's losing, it don't matter who it's to and what time of the season, anytime they lose, it's a good day in my book. And number two, Florida wins. I know it's ugly, but we still won. And Coach Mack becomes the first Florida coach with 10 wins in his first season. And boys and girls, Florida has had some pretty daggum good coaches come through there. So that's an impressive stat for Coach Mack in his first year. And my third what's up, Slayton, the way the Big 12 schedule has been set up has made the month of November phenomenal. Keep doing it.
I love it. If you're not going to have a championship game, that's how you have to schedule.
Awesome. I say do it and have a championship game. You keep eyes on there. Hey, it's been awesome. I love it. So, what's your what's down this week, Slayton?
I got two. Baylor's backup quarterback, Stidham, out with a broken ankle. It's probably going to be the nail in the coffin for the Bears.
More than likely.
My what's down, Pinkel losing his last game at Missouri.
Dang you, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm never letting y'all live that down, Tennessee. Y'all ruined it.
Well,
y'all ruined it.
Good for y'all, Tennessee fans, for getting the W. But at the end of the day, he's a great coach, a good man.
We've seen two great coaches get carried out by their teams in Beamer and Pinkel, and neither one of them won.
Exactly.
It was kind of depressing.
Prayers for his family. We'll continue to say that.
Prayers up to Gary Pinkel.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's my what's down. Wish he would have won it.
Yep. My what's down, obviously those two having to get carried out, not winning the game. You want to see both of them. But, hey, they still got a little bit more season to go, so maybe they can win their last game as coaches. Some more of my what's downs, Miami Senior Day crowd. If you haven't seen the pictures, look it up. Slayton, I've seen more people at Gallatin games than this.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's more at the pep rallies.
Yeah. I'm not kidding people. There might have been 1,000 people there.
Maybe.
That's stretching it. Like, seriously.
And I bet a good majority of that was family. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, let me put it this way. There were a whole lot more of those empty green seats in that ugly Miami stadium than there were people sitting in those. And you could definitely tell. My other what's down, Florida's performance. I've already harped on enough. Just let me down. And my last one. This is kind of random, but there was a guy on Twitter named Clutch Like MJ, a.k.a. Ryan Bryant. And this guy, I'm just going to say he was the most popular Gator fan on Twitter, had over 10,000 followers. He released all these great hype videos before every game. If we played your team, you've heard of this guy because he did nothing but talk smack to every single other team. He was kind of the voice of the Gator fans. And he made some great shirts, some great hoodies, some that I own. And it comes down last week, actually, that this guy's not real. He is a catfish. Basically, he was using somebody else's picture. His name was fake. His real name was Neil Cool. He had said that his family was rich. He lived in Destin. He lived on the beach. He goes to all these Florida games. And some Florida fans got suspicious of him when he wouldn't meet him up for games after he said he had all this money, had tickets to this, tickets to that. And so people got suspicious, started searching him up, and he was fake. And just kind of – he basically catfished a whole entire fan base. I mean, this dude had 10,000 followers, and he supposedly – I want to say he had made over $30,000 by selling T-shirts and stuff like that. And he had signed some deals to actually make videos with other teams. And his – whole persona was fake. And it sucks. One, because he did it. It's childish. It's petty. It's weird. I couldn't get it off my mind for like 2 days because, I mean, I followed this dude pretty hard. Cause, I mean, like I said, he talked mess to everybody. And it was hilarious. And two, why it sucks is for that reason right there, because there's not really that much trash talking as much. It's not as entertaining. But, hey, I should have had a what's up for this. Gator Twitter, after that happened, was some of the most entertaining stuff this week.
Well, the biggest thing on that story is, folks, be yourself.
Yes.
Honestly.
If this dude had just been himself from the jump and got this far with that, he would still have 10,000 followers and still be making money.
Exactly. Be yourself. Don't be a thing that you're not.
Yeah. Just kind of a weird situation. That's my what's down for this week. So, Slayton, let's hop into our jerseys of the week real quick before we hop into commercial. So, I'll go first on this one. I said I would definitely have jerseys of the week if they bring these out, and they did.
They did.
Notre Dame. The all green, the Shamrock series. They had the Irishman hell on the sides, a nice switch up from just the gold dome. I liked it. I love Notre Dame's green. I'm not necessarily crazy about the all green. I like the green with the gold, but I still like the green.
Yeah, it was clutch.
They were nice.
It was pretty nice.
They were still nice.
I liked it.
Yeah. They matched the green monster.
They did.
In Fenway.
My jersey of the week, I got UConn. I really like
it. Hey, I gave him a shout-out earlier. I said, you kind of got some slick jerseys.
The all-gray, the matted gray helmets, the blue accents with the blue logo.
They got some nasty unis.
The red outline.
Yeah.
Boy, it looked great, especially knocking off Houston the way they did on national television.
Looked fresh, and they played fresh.
I guarantee you that's going to help their recruiting a little bit.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. That's a slight, absolutely awesome first segment of the show. We're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back, go over the college football poll, give you our top four, and get you ready for the week with all the big games of the last week of the regular season. So make sure to check out all of our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get fresh. It's time to get a little clean. We'll go to the man himself, the master, Jason Neely. 13 years of experience as a barber. Haircuts are $12, flat tops are $14. Located in White House, Tennessee at 147 Raymond Hirsch Parkway. Give Jason the master a call today at 615-440-3049.
What it do? It's your boy, White Boy Stew. And if you're having 10 for 10 Network withdrawal Sunday through Friday, it's okay. Because here at the 10 for 10 Network, we have the antidote for you. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. If you like to follow Johnny on Twitter, it's at Johnny Showtime. If you want to follow me, White Boy Stew, on Twitter, it's at GoGators_SNT. So make sure to like and share. And you never know, you might just hear your name on the air.
Ever wanted some custom furniture or maybe some professional work done to give your house that country feel? Well, check out Johnson's Woodwork in Portland, Tennessee, where they take reclaimed oak and barn wood to spruce up your house. Give David Johnson a call today at 615-419-5350, where the wood is good. Are you looking for a place to train? Looking for a place to become a champion? Well, look no further, as UFC Gym is coming to Hendersonville, Tennessee in early September. UFC Gym offers all kinds of options and specialties for training, such as weights, self-defense, kids classes, and even highly qualified training in jiu-jitsu. Go by there today or give them a call at 615-348-4150 and tell them the 10 for 10 sent you, because that's where champions are made.
Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10. You make sure to go check out all the sponsors for the 10 for 10 Network. We appreciate everything that they do. You can follow me, the host, White Wolf Stew, on Twitter at @GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me under my government name, and that's Stuart Thompson. That's with the EW and not the U. Once again, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Go get your grub on, because I know I definitely am going to. And also, Slayton, I want to give a shout-out to Maggie. I hope you feel better. So, Slayton, how's it going this week?
Pretty good. I like how you tied in my shout-out.
Yeah.
I'm still shouting out. Shout-out to Maggie. I also want to shout-out Stacy Girl Thompson.
Okay.
For having the Friendsgiving this past Saturday. Oh, man, that food was delicious. Shout-out to her. Shout out to everybody that came and enjoyed spending time with
great
all
time
of you.
Saturday. We had a great time.
Yeah, great time. Just good week.
It was a fantastic week. Also, shout out to our boy MC Coin, Matt McCoin. We had him in town for the weekend. It was good hanging out with your brother. You said you weren't really listening to us that often, but hey, we still gonna give you a shout out because you are a boy. It was great to have you in town. And hey, like you said, Slayton. Shout out to my mom because she went hammer. And shout out to Cassie too because she helped too.
Shout out to her.
They went, and anybody who brought anything, y'all went hammer on pretty much everything, especially you, Nana, because that banana pudding was All of it was It was kind of just the warm up for what we're going to do on Thanksgiving. So,
I'm coming to your house.
So, let's hop into these college football playoff polls this week. Slayton, we had a little bit of change this week. Change gonna come. Top two didn't change, though. Had Clemson and Bama. And then this is where it starts changing. We have Oklahoma at 3, Iowa at 4, Michigan State 5, Notre Dame falls to 6, Baylor 7, Ohio State falls to 8, had Stanford at 9, Michigan at 10, Oklahoma State at 11. My boys fall after the ugly win from 8 to 12. I was expecting about 10. But, oh well, I understand it's falling. I'm not that distraught over it. We got Florida State 13, so we're having a 12-13 matchup this week. North Carolina at 14, Navy 15, Northwestern at 16th. Got Oregon at 17, Ole Miss back up in there again at 18, TCU 19, Washington State 20, Mississippi State 21st. Got UCLA 22, Utah 23. And then we got our little boys at the very end. We got Toledo at 24 and Temple at 25. So, Slayton, what do you think about the poll, and what is your top four?
Yeah, I believe the poll is pretty accurate. There's a few teams in there looking like the Jefferson son, moving on up.
Moving on up.
Top four for me, I got number one, Clemson.
Okay.
Number two, Iowa. Reasoning behind that, they're the second undefeated team. Three, I got Bama. And four, I got Notre Dame. My asterisk for this one, though, Oklahoma's one loss to Texas cannot override Notre Dame's one loss to Clemson. Clemson's undefeated. They're the number one team in the country. They've been ranked highly all year. Notre Dame played them tightly for that loss.
Yeah.
I don't see how Oklahoma would get the love over Notre Dame. I just don't. If you're looking at the body of work, you've got to talk that loss.
Yeah.
You've got to.
Well, I go off the eye test.
True.
And this is what I see. I got Clemson, Bama, and then you can kind of swap these two out. Michigan State and Oklahoma, and this is why I say that. Michigan State just beat the front runner of the Big Ten all season. That was Ohio State. Ohio State's been the number one team in the Big Ten all year. Michigan State's beat them. Michigan State's beat some good teams. That Oregon win that looked super bad,
yep.
It's starting to look a little better now.
True, but on that same note, Bama's big win over LSU is starting to look really bad.
Look, I know Michigan State won on some BS against Michigan, but guess what? They still beat Michigan. Michigan's a good team. Michigan might beat Ohio State this week. And then I look at Oklahoma. If they go through this stretch, that loss to Texas is horrible. It's ugly.
It's terrible.
But from that point on is where I just say Oklahoma's been one of, if not the most impressive slash hot team there's been. And if they run through the end of this Big 12 schedule unscathed, they'll be the only one to do it. The only one. Because everybody else, guess what? Everybody else has already dropped one in this little stretch. Oklahoma hasn't in this stretch.
That's true. But that loss to Texas, let's look at just that.
They will have three victories against top 15 teams.
Okay, but you lost to a horrible Texas team. A Texas team that not only just beat you, they dominated you. And I'm not saying that lightly. I know that Texas has not had a good year.
No.
But they controlled that entire game.
Yep.
From the jump. They ran the ball effectively. They threw the ball effectively. They played defense effectively. And that loss to Texas is terrible.
Yeah.
And it's almost unforgivable in the fact that you're saying that they're beating these big teams. If you want to look at the total body of work, yes, they've beat some good teams here at the last stretch, but it took a loss to Texas to do it. So, on that same front, Notre Dame's been undefeated since they lost to Clemson.
That is true.
And a win is a win in my eyes. Yeah. It really is. Because if it's not, then we have to sit here and talk about Oklahoma.
It might come down to comparing losses. It really might.
Well, I mean,
this is my thing with Notre Dame, though. You're an independent. It's your choice. You're an independent.
Okay. What's the difference between being an independent and being in a conference with no championship?
You still won a conference.
It doesn't matter.
Still won a conference.
What's the difference?
The playoff committee shows that having a conference champion is big in their eyes. During the Big 12 game last year, wasn't because they didn't have a championship game. That was part of it, but it's because they tied for a champion.
Let's talk strength of schedule then. Notre Dame has a top 25 strength of schedule.
Their schedule has been better
than it
usually is.
Oklahoma's not even in the top 60.
But this...
It's not.
These last three or four games, though, match what Notre Dame's three or four good ones have been.
This last three or four games only moved their strength of schedule up because the Pac-12 depleted itself.
Okay, question for you then. Oklahoma-Notre Dame play, who wins that game?
Probably Oklahoma.
Okay, then. So that means Oklahoma's the better team.
But that's projecting. Here's another thing. If Notre Dame plays like they did against Clemson and Oklahoma plays like they did against Texas, who wins that game?
Well, I mean, it was
Notre Dame every time.
Look, it's going to play itself out. Oklahoma's probably going to drop this week. Big 12 is going to fall out. Notre Dame's going to say, thank you. Thanks for the ticket. That's probably what's going to happen. But that's not what I got. So we could argue about top four all day. you could throw Notre Dame in there. I mean, you look at it, Notre Dame just won an ugly game. So did Florida. Florida got the same record they do.
Oh, I believe if Florida goes through it, they beat Bama.
Oh,
If they beat Florida State and Bama,
yeah.
Florida ought to be in that top four.
They'll be in the top four. It don't matter how ugly it is. If they beat those two teams, that's why I'm not really up in arms about it. But look, they got to do that first.
I agree. However, though, the conversation with Florida could still be they had that really terrible loss to LSU.
But at the time, it wasn't a bad loss.
But that's the thing. If we're talking at the time –
Oklahoma, and that's one of Bama's signature wins. And look where they're at. They're number two in the nation.
And I agree with that conversation wholeheartedly. If we're going to project backwards, LSU's not a big win for Bama.
I mean, if anything, I'm just saying right here. Bama didn't run through their side of the division.
That's true.
Florida did. Now, don't get me wrong. West a whole lot better than the East. But still, I don't care. You still ran through the East.
That's true.
Look, if they did that 2 or 3 years ago, that's – the most impressive thing anybody could do. It's just not that way no more because of the way division is. So, like I said, we can argue about the top four, but I agree with what the College Football Playoff Committee poll has with Clemson, Bama, Oklahoma, and Iowa because I think those are the four best teams in the four best divisions.
I'm just happy that they gave Iowa credit.
They did.
I'm glad that
And look, Iowa's got a chance to prove himself. They win this week against Nebraska. Then they go in, they beat Michigan State. If Michigan State wins this week or whoever's sitting there waiting on them, they beat them, they're in.
That's simple.
These teams up here in the top now that are in the top four, all maybe besides Oklahoma, Clemson, Bama, and Iowa all have championship games. And they all have, I would say, decently easy games the last game before they get to their championship game.
Yep.
All three of them control their destiny. That fourth spot, Who knows? There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options out there. So, let's go ahead and hop into our picks, Slayton. I went 10-4 last week. That made me 6-4 on lock of the weeks, and I am 102-40. What is your record?
I am 142 overall. 7-3 in locks. Yeah, where's your ha-ha for that? 9-5 in the previous week, so you got one extra win.
Look, you can be locking another week, but I'm picking everything else right.
Look, if you're betting on teams, you take my lock, okay?
All right, so well, I'm going to get my lock of the week right this week. So let's go ahead and hop into these picks. Last week of regular season, cannot believe it. But, hey, there is a lot of great games ready to roll. So, Slayton, first one we're going to hop into. Number 15, Navy at Houston. We know Houston's a good team. We know Navy's a good team. I got Navy in this one 30-32 because I just think Reynolds is hot right now.
I'm with you. I've got Navy 35-24, and you can put that on the books because that is my lock of the week.
Ooh, woo. You heard it right there, folks.
Yeah.
Slayton has Navy lock of the week against Houston. So we both agree on that one, Navy with the win. Next game, we got number 4, Iowa at Nebraska. This one's going to be tricky. Nebraska's played better than they were. They're still not that great, though. And it's at Nebraska, which is kind of tricky. But I think Iowa has the right team, the right scheme to go in here and really control this game and get out with a victory. I got it 28-17, Iowa.
Yeah, I'm
going to be tricky, though.
It's going to be a trick game, and I believe Iowa wins this one late. 21-17 over Nebraska.
So we both have Nebraska scoring 17. Just got what Iowa is different. So first two we've agreed on. Next one. Got number 7, Baylor, at number 19, TCU. We've been pointing to this one all season, and it don't really have as much to it as it should have, as it would have. But still going to be a good game. But I got Baylor winning this one because TCU ain't got the quarterback, 35-21.
Boy, I believe you're looking at my sheet. You just trying to shave wins so I can't catch up. I know what you're doing.
Nah.
Yeah, I got Baylor winning this one as well. I got 35-20 on this game, and that's because I don't believe TCU scores a third touchdown. I just don't.
That's pretty close on the final scores.
Yeah.
So, next game, Slayton. Got number 8, Ohio State, at number 10, Michigan. Hey, they're rhymed out of nowhere. But Ohio State, there's a lot of problems, a lot of chatter, a lot of players just not happy at all. A lot of mess around there right now. In Michigan, there's not no mess. Harbaugh's getting hype. He know smashed a Buckeye on the grave, Michigan's legend coach. So I got Michigan in this one. In Harbaugh's first year, Urban has just built himself back into another SEC where he beats every team except for one or two every year. And Michigan's going to be the other team that beats them. Michigan is going to win 28-20. And Slayton, guess what?
What?
That's my lock of the week.
I'm glad.
That's bold right there, son.
That's pretty bold.
That's a heck of a lock of the week. That's what you call a lock of the week right there.
I believe with everything that's going on at Ohio State right now.
Urban getting sick this game, bro. He going to have a collapsed lung. He going to poop his liver out or something. I don't know. Something's going to happen to him.
I think that he's going to answer the call because there is so much controversy.
What, the call to go to another school or go to ESPN for a couple months?
Ohio State's going to win this one.
Nah.
And I believe they're going to win it decently because Ezekiel Elliott.
How many carries do you have?
I'm going to say at least 20. At least.
You better have 25 at least.
I don't know that he gets 25. It depends on how the game goes. But I've got to go in 35-20 over Michigan. If Michigan jumps out early and they get their run game going, this is going to be a slobber knocker into the fourth quarter.
I got faith in Michigan's D. I think they can hold down off Ohio State's offense because their offense hasn't looked great this season. They got the athletes there. You know the potential, but they just haven't lived up to it this season.
And
play calling's been a part of that.
I believe Ohio State's probably going to answer the call. There's a lot of question marks, especially on Urban as his game plan for last week. You better believe he's going to be prepared for this game.
He better be.
Oh, he will be.
Yeah, he's getting prepared with that Pepto-Dismal because he's going to get sick. So that's the first one we picked differently. So next one, number 14, North Carolina at NC State. NC State's tricky when they're at home, but North Carolina's done got hot. I think they win this one. They got their eyes on the prize to play Clemson, 30-20.
Boy, I know you're looking at my sheet now.
No.
North Carolina and North Carolina State. Boy, this was a tough one to pick. Both of these teams can put up points.
They can.
North Carolina, I got them winning this one tight, 31-21. So I know you're looking at my sheet over there.
We've had almost the same spread every game. All right, this one. I know we're both going to pick the same one this one. Number 2, Bama at Auburn. Look, boys and girls, Auburn couldn't stop LSU's offense. They definitely ain't going to be able to stop Alabama's offense with Derrick Henry. Fournette made Auburn look like children out there. Henry going to make them look like infants out there. And Alabama's defense is going to feast on Sean White, Jeremy Johnson, whoever they got back there. They're going to feast 42-10. This Iron Bowl, there's going to be a lot of iron, and it's going to be a lot of blood from Auburn.
About to move across the room, you looking on my sheet and things.
No.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at my sheet.
Yeah. I got Bama over Auburn, 42-17. You copying my spread over here. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad. It's going to get out of hand early.
Very quickly. Next game. All right, Slayton. Penn State at number 5, Michigan State. What you got on this one? I'll let you go first this time.
All right. Well, I got Michigan State pulling this W. Penn State, that offensive line's not going to hold up against the D. I've got 24-10. What you got?
I agree with you. 24-17, Michigan State.
Good grief.
So, next one, the Battle of Mississippi. Number 18, Ole Miss at number 21, Mississippi State. I think this one's going to be a close one. This one's got potential to be a very good one. I got Mississippi State edging this one out because it's at home. Ole Miss is up and down. They had an up game last week, so they'll be down this week, 27-24.
And you chose Mississippi State?
Yep.
About time you stopped looking at my sheet. Ole Miss going to win this one, 28-21 over Mississippi State.
Still pretty close, though.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
No, I'm saying our score is still pretty close on it.
Nah, it's still going to be a good one.
It is going to be a good game. Next game. Big game right here, Slayton.
Yep.
Big rivalry right here, Slayton. Number 6, Notre Dame at number 9, Stanford. Look, Notre Dame has gutted it out all year, but these injuries have just piled up too much. I think Stanford is the more solid team. They got more of their pieces there now. I mean, McCaffrey's still there. You got Hogan still, and Notre Dame's just banged up. And it's at Stanford. So, I got Stanford in this one. I think it'll be a decent game, though, 24-14.
I see what you're saying. Stanford's got a very good look up front, especially against that Notre Dame front seven. However, I believe Notre Dame's faster to the ball than Stanford is. And I believe that that defense is going to be able to shut McCaffrey down on the edge, and that's huge. Because if you can stop him before he gets going, that's the key.
White hope.
Yep. Notre Dame 28-17 Stanford.
Okay, so that was different. All right.
Yep.
Before we get into our little SEC stretch and to our boys real quick, Slayton, this is the last real big one. This is the biggest of the Big 12 games this week.
It's the Big 12 championship.
This is exactly what it is. We got number 3, Oklahoma, at number 11, Oklahoma State. Basically, Oklahoma State wins, they win Big 12, right?
I believe so.
And if Oklahoma wins, they win, right? Or actually, would Baylor win it, or would it be a tie at that point? There's so many scenarios, man. I haven't kept up with
it. I just know that the Big 12 cannot three-way tie. They can two-way tie, but they can't three-way.
Well, then it's probably if Oklahoma State wins, they win it. I know if Oklahoma wins it.
Yeah, if Oklahoma wins it, I'm pretty sure that they win
it. Yeah, I know Oklahoma wins it because their only loss is to Texas and not these other teams that they're competing with. So they would hold tiebreaker everybody. So they're going to win the Big 12, Slayton, 26-21.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Oklahoma winning this one big. I got 42-28.
I think Oklahoma State's just running out of steam.
I'm with you. There's a lot of controversy and things that have gone on in Stillwater right now. That's a community that's still hurting after the whole parade incident.
Yeah.
Their defense looks sloppy. Let's be honest.
And their offense is kind of cooled off too.
They have. They've run that kind of same spread. They're just not as effective running the ball.
Yeah.
And
we talked about that earlier, how they couldn't run the ball. So, both got Oklahoma in that one. So, these are kind of the rivalry games, I guess you would say. Got Georgia at Georgia Tech. Slayton, neither one of these teams are that great, but I think Georgia's got a little bit better just team. 20-16, though, in a close one.
I think Georgia Tech's going to pull this one off. I've got 21-17 over Georgia.
Ooh.
And that's because Georgia Tech pulls BS.
Hey, they run that BS offense.
Yeah, at the most random points in time, they can beat the greatest team in the world.
Yep.
So I got
Georgia's not the greatest team
yeah.
in the world. So next game, this is the big one in the Mid-State. Got Vandy at UT. Vandy has no offense, but they got good defense. UT, just average offense, I would say, at this point. They got a good run game, and the defense is just, eh. So Vandy has the upper hand on D. UT has the upper hand on O. So whichever one makes the most plays is going to win. I think it's going to be UT, 19-9.
I'll tell you what, boy, this is going to be the battle for the holler.
Battle Bowl.
The Battle Bowl. I got Tennessee winning 24-7 over Vandy. I don't believe Vandy's got enough on offense to get it done. That defense, one of the better defenses in the SEC, I really believe that.
They hold Tennessee's run game and keep it low scoring. They got a chance. And question, that impersonation you just did, was that a UT fan or a Vandy fan?
Both.
Both, okay.
They're both from the same section of the state.
They're both the same kind of people. So, next game, A&M at LSU. These are two teams that were hot midseason, and now they're both ice cold. Just like my heart and my soul. So, I'm going to say Leonard Fournette. Finally, Leonard Fournette's, because A&M's just, they're a mess right now on offense. Their D's not that great. And it's at LSU, 24-20.
I'm with you. I believe that this
Fournette
game
does a big game.
That
game.
Fournette comes back.
Yep.
And the reason I believe that is because this A&M defensive front seven undersized across the board.
Yep.
If they can't run the ball on A&M, they're not running the ball on anybody
else.
LSU 17-13 over A&M. Yeah, so it's going to be a sloppy game.
We both kind of got it sloppy and somewhat low scoring. So, Slayton, hop into our boys real quick before we get off the air.
Indubitably.
My boys, Florida State at number 12, Florida. And look, Slayton, I've harped all year. When this game happens, Florida's going to win. When this game happens, Florida's going to win. When this game happens, Florida's going to win.
You better pick them.
Oh, I'm picking them.
Oh,
Florida.
You better pick
them. 21-17. Look, D plays great. We hold Dalvin Cook up. It's at Swamp. Offense plays a little bit better. We somehow rack up three touchdowns. Actually, offense scores twice. Defense scores once. Or Callaway scores on a punt return. We're going to have some big plays this game. I think we're going to come ready to play. And honestly, like I've said, I've just been saying we're going to win this game all season. And I've picked Florida to win every single regular season game. So why quit now? And, hey, that's not just me being with the blinders either. This one might be. This one's the one excuse probably, me having a little bit of the blinders on. Rest of them, though, I feel like was fair to pick.
Florida's best chance is to make this a sloppy game. Let's be honest.
Oh, it's going to be sloppy, yeah, baby. Well, Florida's going to be sloppy on offense either way.
They're going to have to make this a gritty defensive game for Florida to win.
That's what we do.
And I believe I said it earlier, Florida right now does not match up great with Florida State the way that Cook is playing.
I ain't going to lie. Bullard being banged up, it worries me a lot.
It does.
That's our anchor.
Front seven right there.
And Sherritt, that hurts too, honestly.
You still got Morrison.
Yeah.
Morrison.
And McAllister's out too. That's our best pass rusher.
So I hate to go against Florida because I've harped on how great that defense has been all year.
Yeah, they're still good.
But right now, I believe that front seven being banged up.
And let's be honest, we were lucky for a good majority of the season not to have the injury bug, and we kind of just caught it at a really bad time. I mean, there's not a good time to catch it, but end of the season, not the most key situation.
Yeah, I've got Florida State winning this one. 31-17 over Florida.
Despicable. You got us losing by 17 or
no,
whatever it is.
Hear me out. I believe Cook has a 3-touchdown game this game.
Oof.
He's had 2 touchdowns in the past 3 games.
Yeah.
I believe that the way that that front seven is lining up, they're going to one-on-one Florida State's receivers. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Florida State does not have a number one receiver, but they throw effectively enough to get it done.
Sure.
Those tight ends are going to give you problems from Florida State,
sure.
Truthfully.
Hopefully ours will too.
The problem with that being is that chip block with the tight end coming out. And that's really going to be a problem for you, especially having people banged up front in that front seven.
Yeah.
Because that means you're going to have people coming in and out, play in, play out. If their head's not on a swivel, big play up the middle. I mean,
this is what I'm hoping. Before we hop into your boys real quick.
Yeah.
Clemson laid the game plan on how to stop Dalvin Cook. After he broke that one, they shut him down. Just like we talked about Fournette, we've seen the game plan. I mean, it's kind of simple. You stack the box, make him try to throw. And Depends on which quarterback plays. If they play McGuire, I feel like Florida's changed a little bit better because he's younger. He's got more of a chance to throw interceptions and stuff. And, look, Florida's going to have to get some turnovers and big plays, like I said, to win this one. And we're going to be ready to play.
Well, the way you stop Cook, like you said, Clemson showed you have to stunt to stop that run.
But don't – the defense ain't the problem. It's the offense. It's all about our offense this game. They've got to do enough to keep us in this game or to win the game.
See, I believe if Florida State puts up three
scores, eventually going to come down to can the offense win the game for us. And if we get that situation, it's not good.
See, I believe that it's solely on the defense. Even with your offense, I believe that somehow they're going to put together points. They find a way to get it in field goal range, even if your kicker misses.
No, no, no. But I don't care if it's a 53-yard field goal or a dang 5-yard field goal. Go for it. I'm not even playing, dog. Seriously.
But
every time, go for it.
Hear me out.
Go for it.
I believe that if Florida State has three scores on the board, that's too much.
Probably.
You have to hold them to –
some field goals.
Yeah.
And, hey, Florida's good at doing that, so – hopefully my boys win. So, Slayton, we got yo boys, Texas Tech. They got them coming to town. Y'all going to get demolished, 55-17.
Boy, you're doing me dirty now.
55-17, it's going to happen. I should have made that my lock of the week.
I don't know if that's going to – they're going to lose. I'm not
– Texas Tech's got a potent offense, and Texas defense is not that great.
Most people don't realize Texas Tech has a top four offense in the country.
Their offense is good. Even when their quarterback's lose, pretty good.
Even when they lose, they're putting up points.
Yeah.
So – 38-17 over Texas. I hate to say that.
We both got them 17.
We're not going bowling.
No, you're not.
Although, at this point, I'm glad not to have to watch them get demolished by somebody.
All right, so since this is the last time we will touch on Texas in a game, is Charlie Strong y'all's head coach next season?
No.
Have you heard any names?
There's a few, but I don't want to touch on them because it's not time yet.
Okay. You want to be respectful for your team, but you don't think Charlie Strong will be there.
I don't.
I see him going to Miami.
I don't think that he goes to Miami. I don't believe that Miami wants Strong. I really don't.
If he's smart, he'll become a coordinator.
Areola is the guy. I believe Miami.
Look, like we said at the beginning of the show or in the middle, whenever we said it, there's going to be a lot of big jobs open this season. There's going to be a lot of big-name coaches out there to grab up. And, hey, there's going to be some up-and-coming coaches too.
Now, we're talking about college right now, but since we're talking about the coach and things like that, there's going to be some NFL coaching job changes as well.
That is true.
If there's some big names there professionally that are willing to come to college, Strong doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Look, we might see some good coaches not get a job because there's going to be so many people out there.
The biggest thing is this year alone.
Because there's a bunch of not that great NFL teams this year.
Well, let's just talk the money end of things for a second. You've got three of the most profitable universities in the country looking to hire coaches right now.
It's
you got
true.
Miami, Texas, and USC all on the waiting list.
Yep.
There are coaches from the NFL that are saying, boy, I could fill my pocketbook real quick.
And then you got to fill in those SEC East jobs. I mean, you look at the East, yeah, you got Florida sitting there, but these still pretty wide open. So you're looking at South Carolina. You're looking at Missouri. I mean, Pinkle showed you can win the East at Missouri. Spurrier showed you can get to the SEC Championship game at South Carolina.
I fear what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot of people take a look at Memphis's coach.
Yeah.
And I really don't want him to leave.
And Houston's coach.
Houston's going to be there.
Navy's coach.
I don't think Navy's coach leaves.
I don't think he is either because he'll stay there a long time, but he'll still get some calls. And then if Les Miles is out there,
one of the big names right now being tossed around is Kirby Smart, South Carolina.
Look, Georgia fans, you don't want Kirby Smart. I'm sorry. I know he's your boy. I know he's from Georgia. Look, I'm telling you, he is a disaster waiting to – actually – go ahead and do it.
My thing is
– disaster waiting to happen.
If he leaves Bama, he's not going to Georgia. No. I don't believe he does.
He's going away from the conference.
I think he goes South Carolina. I really do.
Think so?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Georgia's not open yet.
Let's be honest here. South Carolina has the best boosters in the East, hands down. They raise more money per booster out of any team in the
East. Well, let's be honest. The Mizzou situation right now is kind of a mess with their whole campus and all that. It was at South Carolina. I mean, they had the flood. you know, they had the guy going in the church and shooting people and stuff. So both those jobs kind of come with a little bit of baggage, a little bit of emotional trauma there, I guess you would say. But look, it's going to be great. Like I said, me and you are probably going to have a couple shows talking about all these coaching changes.
Oh, we'll have some good discussions. We're going to have some filler segments.
Yeah. So that does it for this week's episode of the 10 for 10 U. Happy Thanksgiving. Once again, thank you for everything that you do to support the 10 for 10 Network and the 10 for 10 U. We appreciate it. We really, really do. Be on the lookout for the next episode next week of the 10 for 10 U. We will have our final full review of a regular season week, and then we will preview every single big championship game that there is and give you our winners and kind of give you our prediction on who we think will make the final top four after this last week of football. So make sure to tune in. Thank you once again. Happy Thanksgiving, and go Gators.
And hook 'em. Also want to... One second.
Okay.
Also want to point out that we're working behind the scenes to make the show a little bit more accessible.
Yes.
So more news on that to come.
Yes.
But know that we're working. We're working hard for each and every listener. We want to make this as accessible to you as possible, and it's coming soon.
Yes. Fully. We're working on having every single show in one spot where you can literally, if you've missed any of the shows, you can just start at a point and just listen to as many episodes as you want to in a row, in order. So it's going to be awesome. So keep a lookout for that. Thank you for tuning in, and we are out of here till next week. Enjoy your weekend.
Yep, enjoy it. Eat as much turkey as you can.
That's right.